Our texts for this morning, or now this afternoon, is found in the first verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We read all of the verse. Now, I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent, am bold toward you. I want this morning to take those words of Paul, the meekness and gentleness of Christ. The meekness and gentleness of Christ. Of all the congregations that Paul ministered to, perhaps the believers in the church at Corinth were the least spiritual. We know that from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in the opening four verses, where Paul said, I cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. There were divisions amongst the believers there in the church. They demonstrated a terrible fleshliness and a carnal attitude toward one another. And in his first letter, the apostle sought to correct the errors that were so prevalent in the church. In ministering to them, he had to point out to them their sin and their need to put matters right. Their need to put matters right between themselves and God and between themselves and others in the congregation. This they did. And by the grace of God were brought to the place where they actually repented and mourned over their sin. We read there in 2 Corinthians 7, and there in the verses 8, 9, and 10, for though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly sort, or a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So here was Paul, and in his first letter that he wrote to the church at Corinth, he had to put all these matters right. And he didn't really rejoice in having to rebuke the believers. He was sorry that he had to do that. And then the other hand, he says, well, really, I wasn't sorry because it led to your repentance and to your putting things right. And he wanted them to know that he had dealt with them as graciously as he could. And as he continues to minister to them, now in his second letter, he wants to have that same attitude toward them. And here in the opening verse of the chapter 10, Paul says, now I myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. He addresses them in Christ's name. And he wanted to minister to them according to the meekness and gentleness of Christ. What a wonderful and lovely way to describe our Savior. The meekness and gentleness of Christ. Meekness, listen. Meekness has been described as the capacity to accept injury without resentment and praise without pride. The capacity to accept injury without resentment and praise without pride. That's the definition of meekness. Gentleness, this word means to deal with others with a sweet reasonableness. To deal with others with a sweet reasonableness. It is a word used to describe the clemency of a judge who is good and gentle as well as being just. Now, these are the words that Paul uses to describe Christ. Meekness and gentleness of Christ. Isn't he an absolutely lovely Savior? No wonder it is written in the Song of Solomon, yea, he is altogether lovely. And when we look upon him, we see clearly his meekness and his gentleness. Therefore, we can describe Christ as a perfect gentleman. That's how I would like to view him today. Christ, the perfect gentleman. Because of the meekness and the gentleness that is seen in him. And something we should all, as believers, strive after. That we would have that meek and gentle spirit also. That we will be more and more like Christ. Christ, the perfect gentleman. Let us look then, first of all, at the character of the perfect gentleman. When Paul spoke about the meekness and gentleness of Christ, he would have had the character of Christ very much in mind. Regarding the character of Christ, we think of his holiness. Holiness. Where there's holiness in anyone's life, there'll be meekness and gentleness. The Lord Jesus being God manifest in flesh, he is, of course, all holiness, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. That's Christ. And holiness will produce the spirit of meekness and gentleness. Tell me, have you ever met the fleshly-minded, professing Christian? Have you ever met a carnally-minded Christian who has been meek and gentle? I don't think so. But when you meet with someone who is holy, holy, someone who is striving after holiness, That individual will show forth the meekness and the gentleness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And surely you and I, believer, want to be more and more like him, conformed to the image of his person. And in the light of the words of Paul, before the eyes of a holy God, can we honestly say we have the meekness and the gentleness of Christ? Are we individuals who are striving after holiness? Boy, that's a message you don't hear much about these days. Holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. But whether it is holiness in a man or a woman's life, holiness in a man or a woman's life, there be the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Because he's holy. All holiness. Didn't the Lord say the devil had nothing in him? The Apostle Paul spoke about the fruit of the Spirit. And when you look at the different parts of the fruit of the Spirit, what do we find? What do we find? Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Temperance, against such there is no law. And there you have those two virtues, meekness and gentleness, produced by the Holy Spirit and seen as the fruit of the Spirit. And so the Christian who is filled with the Spirit and the Christian who has the fruit of the Spirit being produced in them, you see, will be more like Christ. Because that virtue of meekness, virtue of gentleness, will be produced in them. See, Christ is the perfect gentleman. As well as the holiness of Christ, Paul, I'm sure, was thinking about the heart of Christ. The Savior was pleased on one occasion to open his heart to his disciples. The Lord didn't often do that, you know. But there are a couple of occasions when he opened his heart to the disciples and, as it were, give them a look into his heart. Because one day he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Listen, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. Learn to be like me. And I am meek and lowly of heart. Now we know that what is in the heart of man will manifest itself outwardly in that man's life. That's what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 15. The Lord said in Matthew 15 and verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. Boy, whenever you're in a shop somewhere or a shopping mall and you hear the language of young people and you hear the things they say, that tells you the sort of heart they have. And when TV personalities come out and the language that they use tells you their heart, what sort of a heart they have. That's what the Lord said, out of the mouth or out of the heart. Proceed out of the mouth that comes forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. Comes from the heart. You look at Christ, and what do you see in Christ's life? Meekness and gentleness. That tells you the heart the Savior has. As Solomon said, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's what he is. Whatever a man is in his heart, that's what he is. Doesn't matter what show he puts on. What he is in his heart, that's what he is. God's word says. So what was in the heart of Christ, that's what he is. And in Christ we see his meekness and his gentleness. Look at Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, we read of Simon. Acts 8, verse 18. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee. Look at verse 21. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Thy heart is not right in the sight of God. What did that heart produce? After being told to repent, we see in verse 23, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. That's what his heart produced. When someone gets into the gall of bitterness, listen, their heart is not right with God. You think of Christ. Never any bitterness with Christ. Instead, we learn about the meekness and gentleness. Think of the words. Think of them. Meekness and gentleness of Christ. As well as the holiness of Christ and the heart of Christ, these words would speak to us also of the humbleness of Christ. For do those words, meekness and gentleness, not speak to us of just how humble the dear Savior is? You know, the more you examine the Lord Jesus, the more we realize we're so unlike him. We seem to be so far away from being like the Lord. The humbleness of Christ. It is a common assumption. When a man is meek, it is because he can't help himself. We all know that meekness is often mistaken for weakness. You meet someone who is meek, and the assumption is he's a weak person. Well, Christ is meek. Christ wasn't weak. The Lord Jesus Christ had all the infinite resources of God at his command. And when someone takes up the position of power and authority, they are seldom seen as being meek and gentle. They usually like to show their authority, and they like to exercise their power. Yet no man had more power and more authority than the Lord Jesus Christ. And what are we reading about him? He was meek and he was gentle. Think of his power. Sure, he called the heavens into being. That's power, isn't it? Yet he was meek and lowly. He had the power and the authority of a king, because he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. And you remember reading about that time just before Calvary when he rode into Jerusalem and the crowds lined the streets and they said one to another, "Who is this?" Was the fulfillment of a prophetic word. "Behold, thy king cometh." Listen. "Behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek, and sitting upon an ass, and the colt, the foal of an ass." What do you think of that? Behold your king. No, he's not riding in a golden carriage drawn by a team of white stallions. He's riding on a humble beast of burden. And the commentary is, "Behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek, sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass." I tell you, he's the perfect gentleman. Do you ever think what it must have been like being in his company? In the way he handled situations, in the way he handled people, in the way he handled the disciples. He's the perfect gentleman. Praise his holy name. We press on. We have considered the character of the perfect gentleman. At least to consider the conduct of the perfect gentleman. We've only to look at how the Savior conducted himself before others. How did he conduct himself? He did so with meekness and gentleness. That is seen, first of all, in his walk. before men. His walk before men. I want you to consider a few things with me. In Christ's walk before men, at no time did the Savior lose his temper. Yes, he cast out the money changers and the buyers and the sellers out of the temple, but he didn't lose his temper. At no time did the Savior lose his temper or say a word that he later regretted. Why? Because he's the perfect gentleman. At no time did he do anything or say anything that he had to go back and later apologize for. Because he's the perfect gentleman. At no time did he do anything that was hurtful or hateful or harmful. No time. Because he's the perfect gentleman. At no time did he behave in a sly way, in a spiteful way. Did he ever say anything sarcastically? Because he's the perfect gentleman. At no time did he seek to deceive, to degrade, to defraud anyone. He's the perfect gentleman. The meekness and gentleness of Christ. There it is. He was not known as a brawler, but he was known for his meekness. He was not known for being aggressive. He was instead known for his gentleness. He was not quick-tempered. He was meek. There was no hardness of attitude with him. Instead, he was always gentle. You see, in every way, he's the perfect gentleman. And Christ met with more individuals and dealt with more individuals than ever we would in a lifetime. But every day was consistent. No matter who he was with, friend or enemy, he was always the perfect gentleman. Meek and gentle. It's seen in his walk before men. It's also seen in his words unto men. The dear Savior was meek and gentle with words. Even when his enemies came and spoke to him with unkind and uncharitable words, even when they shamefully insulted him, still, he was meek and gentle. For there in Luke chapter 11, in Luke 11 and verse 14, And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided itself cannot stand. He dealt with them with meekness and gentleness. Let me put you to the test. Someone insults you. Someone says something against you. Someone makes fun of you. What do you want to do? You want to think of a quick response. You want to get back at them. You don't want to let them off with it. You never saw that with Christ. In his words, no matter what was said to him, no matter what was said about him, he did what we read in Proverbs. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. There was always a soft answer. Why? Because he's the perfect gentleman. He's the perfect gentleman. Remember what I said at the beginning about meekness, the definition of meekness, the capacity to accept injury without resentment and praise without pride. And there are, of course, many examples of the meekness and gentleness of Christ in the words which he spoke to men and women. There's one example for me personally that stands out above all else. It was that night in Gethsemane. The Lord had been there for 3 hours in prayer. He had asked the disciples to pray with him, and you know what they did? They fell asleep. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. He who is the God-man said his soul was exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Will you pray with me? He's man. He wanted the support of the disciples praying. But no. There was only one voice heard in the garden that night. The voice of Christ as he cried to his Father. Father, if this cup is thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he came in there, they were sleeping. Then after the third time he had gone to the disciples, he said, let us go now. And he went up and he made his way to meet the betrayer. And we are told there was Judas Iscariot, and he had a band of men. A band is 500 men. And they come into the garden with their swords and their staves and their lanterns. And there's Judas, one of the 12. There's Judas with 30 pieces of silver in his pocket. There's Judas, that child of the devil. And he approached the Lord. And what did Christ say? Friend, wherefore art thou come? He addressed him as friend. He could have addressed him in a host of different ways, but then Christ is the perfect gentleman. And there's the arch betrayer. There he is, has the audacity to come and approach the Lord and betray him with a kiss, a symbol of love. And the Lord, who knew that Judas would be the betrayer all along, simply said to him, friend. The word friend there means partner. You believe that? That the Lord said to Judas, friend, wherefore art thou come? He's the perfect gentleman. And don't we want to be more like him? That's what I said earlier on. When you look at Christ and examine his life closely, you realize we're so far from being like him. We're so unlike him. He's the perfect gentleman. We have seen his walk and his words and also his works. His works. His works for men. The meekness and the gentleness of Christ was always seen in what he did for others. The number of times in the Gospels you read, Christ was moved with compassion. Remember that day he saw a multitude and they appeared unto him as sheep not having a shepherd, and he was moved with compassion. Remember that day he saw a leper, body destroyed and twisted and eaten away with the disease, and Christ looked on him and he was moved with compassion. Christ would have seen lepers every day. He never got used to it. He never got used to it. Remember that day, a great company of people followed him, and he made his way towards the village of Nain, and out of the village of Nain came a funeral procession, and at the head of the procession was a widow woman walking behind the coffin of her son. Her only son. And Christ looked upon her and he was moved in his heart, moved with compassion. It's the sort of heart that Christ has. Was there ever a more gentle, meek physician than Christ? Could you ever have a more meek and gentle friend than Christ? Was there ever a more gentle and meek person than the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the perfect gentle man. One more point and I'm finished. The perfect gentle man is seen in the character and in his conduct and in his consideration. In appearing to the Corinthian believers, Paul spoke about the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. That was the spirit in which he wanted to minister unto them. And would that not be what we would like also to live our days out? To live our days in the meekness and the spirit of meekness and gentleness of Christ. The person who perhaps has a quick temper. The person who, as we talk about, oh, that's an old grumpy boy there. Always complaining. Always complaining. Would do well to consider Christ. The person who holds spite or finds it difficult to forgive someone who's wronged them, and they'll hold on to that spite for years. They'd do well to consider Christ, wouldn't they? And I'm not talking about a worldly person. I'm talking about a Christian. Consider him who suffered such contradictions of sinners against himself. The word contradiction there means to speak against. You read the Gospels and the many people who spoke against Christ. But he always was the same. Meekness and gentleness was always seen in him. Paul says we're to put on Christ. Put on Christ. Like putting on a garment, but this is a garment that we must never take off. Meekness and gentleness of Christ must always be seen in us. Morning, noon, and night. 7 days a week. So it was with him. Paul says in Titus 3 and verse 2, speak evil of no man. Be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. There's the two virtues again. But be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Lamb of God, I look to thee. Thou shalt my example be. Thou art gentle, meek, and mild. Thou was once a little child. Fain I would be as thou art. Give me thine obedient heart. Thou art pitiful and kind. Let me have thy loving mind. Perfect gentleman. That ought to be our desire. As well the desire, there ought to be the display. That is, believers, ought we not to display the meekness and the gentleness of Christ when dealing with difficult and cantankerous individuals, when we're mocked and we're laughed at and made fun of because we're Christians, because we go to church, because we go to prayer meeting, whatever the world says about it, let us always exhibit the spirit of Christ, the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. Loving Jesus, gentle Lamb, in thy gracious hands I am. Make me Savior what thou art. Live thyself within my heart. Make me what thou art. I beseech thee by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. He is the perfect gentleman. Praise his name. Let's bow in prayer.